Think completely.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to the spookiness that is Shout Out.
And talking of terrifying, he's Andy Hole and I'm Stefan. And today on the show, Sask is back.
That'll scare everyone, enough said.
Mind.
Oh, Andy, we talk to mental health as we run into the holiday season.
And extra Terry.
That'll be News Extra, where we'll talk about topics in more detail.
All here today on Shout Out. Now, where can I rest my broom? A very spooky start to the show, wasn't it? I thank Mr. Shilton, who has got man flu, poor boy.
I hope he feels a lot better soon.
Yes.
Man flu is even worse, you see.
Is it? Oh, explain.
It's, I'm going to have to think of something witty now. What could gay man flu entail? I'm not sure.
All sorts of things. Maybe we should talk about that later.
Maybe we should do a gay man flu starter kit.
Oh, that's it. That's I was talking to.
Tis the season.
Yes, indeed. And we're going to be bringing you a gay starter kit special, I think, before
we are. What's
before
the
holidays.
Date?
Is it I December think it's the 5th of December.
Yes.
Remember the 5th of December.
Ooh. Yes.
We're going to have two local experts from the adult industry talking about gay and lesbian starter kits.
Mm. I want a pan kit, please, not with a wok. Just put it out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, is that synonymous,
as in a frying
is it,
pan.
With...
No, as in I'm not attracted to frying pans. Or any
not?
Kitchen utensils. No, I'm not. Oh, no. Yeah. Amazing, I know.
See, that is also a thing. Talking
I'm
about
sure.
that, people being attracted to objects.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
what's that called?
Object sexuality, OS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
So.
I suppose...
Animism.
I suppose
that's the word. Animism.
Animism.
Somebody was in love with the Eiffel Tower.
But she left the Eiffel Tower for the Berlin Wall.
She did. And
she
took
did.
Her part home.
She has, yes.
And snuggles up to it.
In the garden.
And somebody else was in love with a Ferris wheel.
Yes.
And restored that.
And married it.
Wow.
It married the...
Yes.
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 Yeah. And not a religious ceremony, but they... Yeah.
A ceremony, yeah.
Yes.
By a priest or vicar, who also had animism and was married to his soundbox thing that he DJed with.
I can understand that, you know, being slightly sort of techie and into radio.
We
and
cover everything on
I
the show.
I can
we
say,
do that.
Yeah, I could easily fall in love with a mixing desk. That would be fantastic. Yeah.
Really? Well, there's room right in front of me that
That's
I'm snuggled
my type.
Up to now. It's not your type. It's a bit basic, isn't it?
But no, there is.
You like the sexy old BBC ones, don't you?
Oh. Yeah,
you know, with the needles.
Oh yeah,
instead of the LED.
Yeah, the needles, the old VU needles. Absolutely, absolutely. You see, I suppose it's only sort of just one step taking a fetish, you know, which lots of people have, millions of people, and just taking it to a next level. I suppose, mm-hmm. isn't it? I mean, how many people are into leather or rubber or PVC?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We're going to rush straight in now to this week's Susky Five.
Excellent.
Sasky 5, oh yes! Hey everyone, welcome to my Sasky 5 for LGBTQ Shout Out Radio. Now, if you like modern, stylish and inclusive fashion, just like myself, then you're going to love this week's show. I have one half of the Damn 13 clothing range with me today, talking about inclusive fashion, gender neutral clothing and why it's important in modern society. Please welcome Marta to my show. Marta, how are you?
Hello, everything's fine, I'm good on that end. Thank you so much for having us. It's Marta here, Barbara is sitting next to me, but probably I am going to be the one who will be answering your questions. So thank you very much for the invite.
No worries, I've got to give a shout out to Barbara. Hey Barbara.
Hi hello.
So Marta, tell for people who don't know, tell us a bit about Damn 13 Clothing, inclusive fashion, and sort of how it came about, how it sort of got started.
Okay, so yeah, we are Martin and Barbara, and we both come from creative backgrounds. I am an advertising photographer, and Barbara is a collage and illustration maker. Mm. As a married couple, we decided to work on creative vision for Damn 13, and so we launched a new clothing brand on the 13th November last year. Mm. We are just about to approach first anniversary, and yes, we are very excited about this.
Yeah. Ah, listen, I know, I remember, because I met you last year at the Diva Music Festival.
Yes.
So, yes, I remember that it's recently launched. So this is a new baby for you both, really, isn't it?
It is very new baby. We are still in our first year of development. So it is, like, quite challenging at some point, but so rewarding thing to do. So, yeah, we do this as a side job after our full-time jobs. But, yes, this is the rewarding part of what we do, actually.
Yeah, well, yeah, look, and you're doing it really well. So look, tell me this, you know, considering more and more clothing companies are supporting this, you know, we still seem to have, when it comes to sort of gender neutral clothing, we still seem to have, like, uproar, for example, if a cisgender male wears a skirt. Do you think the fashion industry need to do a bit more to be more supportive of inclusive fashion?
Yes, we totally stand for that. As a part of society, we should be supported, we should be respected, we should be seen and heard. We wanted to create a brand for people, regardless of their gender or sexual orientation, for people who are inspired or who can actually inspire the other ones. We both, we went through rough times in our lives, and there were times we actually needed strong motivation to raise our heads up. And to fight obstacles. So we motivated one another, and we strongly believe this could be also something that could help the others. So this is roughly, this is actually the beginning of how we came up to the idea, how we wanted to actually be helpful and do something for the others.
Mm-hmm. And I like that. And actually, Will, talking about that, empowering, this is what I love about your clothing, because, you know, I love your slogan, identity to wear, and all the empowering statements that are on your clothing, such as, you know, I am enough and I can paint me. Who is it that comes up with these sort of power statements? Is it the pair of you, or is it, you know, do you get people to write in, give ideas? How does it work?
So I create slogans based on my experience and beliefs. So I believe this comes from the time I went through some rough moments with my mental health. Mm-hmm. So probably, you know, the whole support I received from the people around me, including my wife in the first line, this is how I started thinking about, you know, how motivated for me it was to be aware of all those people around who were actually throwing good words towards me and who are there to help me. So the Down 13 is my statement I want to throw back to people, to support and to let them know that, you know, they are not alone. So the slogans like mindset is everything, or be the voice, not the echo, this is what comes from my heart, and this is this is all that I can actually say back to these people, like to people in general.
Yeah, no, listen, I'm really happy to see this, and it's really important, particularly within the LGBT plus community, where unfortunately, you know, we do have higher rates of mental health issues, purely mainly because of the way people have been treated and they've been oppressed and they haven't been able to be themselves. So clothing ranges like yourself that are inclusive, that are allowing people to feel empowered to be themselves, I am all for, and you get my full support. I still have the t-shirt and the socks that you gave me both when I first met you. The t-shirt
Fantastic.
I have, it says, are you coming? And when I wear it, I've been wearing it out. No one still has turned up, so I'm still waiting for someone to come. But I love it. And also the socks that you have given me are my ones that I'm saving for a hot date. So I think I need to save them for a special night, I think. So listen, thank you so much for coming on my show. Really love what you're doing. I wish you all the best of luck, and thank you so much for coming on my show. I really appreciate it. So big love, and I will catch you both soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Dusty. Thank you so much.
shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast. Bella.
Woohoo! That was Glee. Heads will roll. And they do. And they will. And they should. Glee, is that code for that they're all gay?
No.
It's the programme, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's the cast.
Were
of
they
the
all gay?
TV programme. I think there was a lot of no, LGBTQ the, yeah, lot content. Of
it, yeah. Yeah, they're all gay.
But,
they're all gay. Good Lord. Every one of them.
Thriller. I never knew they'd done a cover of Thriller.
Oh, they did a cover of everything and everybody.
They did.
Some of the Halloween covers are brilliant.
Well, I wonder, actually. I was playing some Halloween tracks the other day on Bass Radio. My good friend Tom, we had Bela Lugosi's Dead by Bauhaus.
Ooh.
Which is considered the first goth record released in 1979. A bit of Joy Division.
That's a great track.
Yeah. Oh, it's 9 minutes long.
And
yeah.
We've
too long for this show.
We've got some atmosphere in the studio now as well because we've turned the lights off.
That's yes. Just the devilish glow of the on-air red, side.
Yes, the red light. So we're bathed in red.
Absolutely.
Ooh. The blood. Are we ready for news, you two?
Yeah.
So I suppose so.
Yes, why not?
Let's do it.
Oh!
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 31st of October.
LGBT groups representing people from South Asia and India have been sending their greetings for Diwali, one of the most important festivals in the Hindu calendar. Known as the Festival of Lights, the 5 days are also marked by followers of the Sikh and Jain religions, which also have millions of followers in India. It symbolises an ancient victory of the god Rama over the forces of darkness, and hence fireworks, fairy lights and lanterns are all lit to celebrate the season. For many Hindu businesses, the festival also symbolises the start of the new financial year and is associated with wealth and prosperity. Although Hinduism has a conservative side, this religion, which along with other Indian beliefs is amongst the oldest continuously practised faiths in the world, does also have a strong tradition of respecting LGBT members of the community. The Gay and Lesbian Vaishnava Association is the largest LGBTQ and intersex portal for Hindu people on the internet. It says, GALVA is an international organisation dedicated to the importance of all-inclusiveness and the Vedic concept of a natural third gender. Its purpose is to help educate Vaishnavas, Hindus and the public in general about the third sex, as described in the Vedic literature. This knowledge will help correct many of the misconceptions people hold today concerning LGBTI people. In addition, GALVA hopes to provide a friendly and positive orientated place where third gender devotees and their guests can come together, discuss issues, address problems, encourage one another to learn more about Krishna consciousness and advance their spiritual life. Hinduism has a complex relation in terms of sexual liberation, as well as the tradition of accepting of nonconformist genders and gay people. There is also a belief that spiritual purity comes from a place of celibacy for everyone. At the same time, Bristol's Hindu temple on Church Road reminds everyone that Hinduism is a religion of fasts, feasts and festivals, and they say it is open to all. So if you've been marking Diwali, then we send you our greetings and wish you a peaceful and prosperous new year ahead.
As we reported in our News Extra slot some weeks ago, a new national network has emerged for the LGB community called the LGB Alliance. And therein lies the rub. The new network joins anti-transgender feminists on the fringes of the women's movement, being set up primarily to stop the traditional alliance between the lesbian, gay and bi communities and trans women in particular. For the first time, the new group aims to mobilise more conservative gay men against trans people's rights. Hitherto, most of the opposition within the community to transgender liberation liberation came from the radical wing of the lesbian movement. However, the new group has been sharply disowned by the overwhelming majority of the wider gay community. After its provocative launch statement, which said gender theory has finally met its match, people took to social media platforms to challenge it, with many saying, actually, it looks like your anti-trans fixation has finally met its match. Gay Times and Pink News both condemned the launch of the alliance and were joined by the largest pan-European magazine for gay and bi women, Diva. Most LGBTQ civil rights activists have also condemned the move, and it is strongly alleged by some that the new alliance is not actually gay-run at all, but is instead a front organisation for anti-trans groups who wish to divide the strong and dynamic LGBTQ scene.
The LGBT network for people from an Islamic background called Hidayah has been in touch with their update for the autumn. The group says that they have held their annual general meeting in Manchester. It was a great success, they say, and a chance for people to come together, meet and celebrate. They also report, this October we have been continuing to spread Hidayah's message at a number of conferences, schools and events across the country. Osman has been engaging with STUC and SQIF in Scotland to ensure that LGBT plus Muslim voices are being heard. STUC is the Scottish Trade Union Congress and SQIF is the Scottish Queer International Film Festival, both of which drew large crowds. Osman delivered speeches at both of these events outlining his own experience as a gay Muslim man growing up in Scotland. Both organisations were very pleased with Hidayah's contribution, and it was a great chance for the organisation to spread the word. They say they look forward to enabling opportunities like this to come to fruition in the future. Meanwhile, another group for LGBTQ Muslims is Iman, based in London. They have just reported that their fundraising campaign to organise a festival showcasing LGBTQ Islamic identities has been a huge success. They have reached £10,000 via a vigorous fundraising effort. It now looks like their planned event will go ahead. So we offer our heartfelt congratulations to the group and look forward to seeing the gay and trans Muslim pride efforts move forward. Well done to all.
And further to that, further to that news, it is worth noting that Fazal, representing LGBTQI Muslims in his role with both Iman London and the health charity The NAS and Matt Foundation, which works for LGBTQ support mental health, appeared on a staggering 7 local BBC radio stations between 7 and 9am the other week. Fazal was networked out on a breakfast bulletin to BBC local radio in Leicester, Sheffield, Berkshire, Kent, Newcastle, Derby, London, Manchester, Lancashire, Northants and the West Midlands. His appearance reflects the BBC local network's increased commitment to serving the needs of the minority communities.
And finally, it is the pagan festival of Samhain, also known as All Hallows' Eve or Halloween. LGBT pagan groups have sent their greetings to supporters at this, one of the most important of the year's ancient pagan milestones. So, what is Halloween? Well, those of you who listen to the Welsh songwriter and singer Kenneth Matthews on BBC Radio 2 will know that it has strong roots in the Celtic countries of Wales and Ireland, where the date marks the end of the old year and the start of the new. In the phenomenally old folklore of these lands, it was believed that the veil between the worlds of the living and the dead became thinner on this occasion, making it the perfect time to honour your ancestors and to seek guidance and assistance from friends and relatives who had passed on. Symbolically, it is the time of year when the goddess is in her crone aspect, reflective and wise. The Glastonbury pagan shop Goddess and the Green Man share this text with us. Excuse me. The year is nearly ended, the nights are long, the moon is dark, and for the seer crone it is a time for reflection, of taking stock of what has been achieved during this turn of the solar wheel. Our Iron Age ancestors would craft beautifully polished bronze mirrors, which may have been used for scrying, that is, shamanic journeying to other worlds in search of wisdom, and by reflecting light into dark places, gleaning knowledge and communicating with the dead. For LGBT Roman Catholics, the Old Celtic New Year was also taken on as the festival of All Saints Day, and for those who mark it, we also send our greetings. Finally, it is worth noting that in the 20th century, the secular festival of Halloween has also been taken on by LGBT people, particularly in the United States, as a time for major partying. People dress up as cartoon characters, as well as ghoulies and zombies, and celebrate storytelling and creativity at parties and events. Some people have even described Halloween as the Gay Christmas. In Bristol, the award-winning gay venue The Bear Bar will be trimmed up in its customary outrageous spooky garb for the season. So, however you mark this festival of Halloween, we wish you a very happy time and remind you to take care with alcohol on these dark, cold nights.
For these news stories and more, visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Hans Peregrin.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
One asks oneself, is it indeed a monster? Now, Shout Out is well known for dealing with the serious as well as the silly and the funny. For the next 12 minutes, we're going to be covering a very serious subject. Approximately one in four people in the UK will experience a mental health problem each year. In England, one in six people report experience of a common mental health problem, that's anxiety and depression, in any given week. One in five adults has considered taking their own life at some point. 16 million people in the UK experience a mental illness. One in four adults will experience a mental illness at some point each year. This ranges from anxiety, depression, alcohol dependence, substance abuse, and psychosis. Those who don't know, Hans and Terry work for Second Step, a mental health charity in Bristol.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to discuss the mental health problems, yeah. Especially coming up to a very sensitive time of the year as December approaches.
It is, yeah. A lot of people obviously find December quite difficult. But we've just been marking a number of useful dates. We had National Coming Out Day was mm-hmm. one day, and obviously mental health impacts disproportionately on all minority communities, but it including does. Ourselves in the LGBTQ community. The following day was World Mental Health Day, and so there's quite a sort of like correlation there. And I saw a brilliant article on ABC, the American broadcaster, which was actually telling viewers, and obviously American television can be quite tabloid, but they did a really good slot of telling people just talk about mental health,
mm-hmm.
talk it through, and don't be afraid to talk about sensitive issues such as people who may be experiencing very dark thoughts about self-harm and so on, because by talking about it, you don't make it more likely. In fact, you make it more likely that you'll be able to turn somebody away from that. So that's the first thing. Also, it was OCD Awareness Week, and as somebody who's lived with OCD all my life since I was a little boy, it was obviously very important to me, and I'm also involved in a charity which
talking
supports
of
people
childhood
with,
you were saying
OCD, yeah.
Since you're younger, Terry, 75% of mental illness starts before a child reaches their 18th birthday.
Yeah. Adolescence is a difficult time. Yeah.
50% of mental health problems in adult life, excluding dementia, take root before 15 years old.
That's right. Yeah.
So our parents have a lot that they can help with
Yeah, absolutely.
And no, I was.
Yeah. And
they could have a positive effect.
They can, and I think again, talking about it is the key thing. I've got a lovely gay psychiatrist friend, and he says one of the reasons why women's mental health outcomes are actually better than men's, and we'll go into some statistics with Hans in a minute, but one of the reasons why women do better at mental health than men is because they talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their girlfriends support them.
Yeah.
And men, including gay men, I mean, are still socialized as men, and one of the things is they find it very difficult to talk about their feelings, or they think that mental illness is something they have to deal with alone rather than in a social context.
Mm.
And I think that's an important thing.
Hans, can you just give us a bit of your background? Because you specialise in men of a specific age, don't you, with mental illness?
Yes. Yeah, so I work as, I'm a member, a team member of the Hope Project, which is part of Second Step. And it was actually Well, it came about to support men aged between 30 and 64 who have suicidal feelings, suicide ideation, have recently attempted suicide, or who are seriously considering attempting suicide. And statistically, Bristol actually has one of the highest rates of suicide in the UK, especially male suicide. And I was talking to Terry earlier, men are three times more likely to attempt suicide than women. And sadly, it's BGT plus men who are at the highest risk. And it goes back to what you were saying, Terry, about men really struggling still to talk. What they are finding that although there is still a high amount of mental health difficulties with younger people, the under 30, to be general about it, are finding it slightly easier now to talk to their friends. It's not that they're not suffering, they are suffering, and they are being diagnosed and they are, you know, receiving support. But it's that the people over a certain age group are still really struggling to talk.
Well, it says the stats again make sober reading. The average wait for effective treatment is 10 years. And suicide is the biggest killer of young people in the UK.
Yeah, and part of the problem is the waiting. You know, with
well, you can 10 go to, years is it's just appalling.
Yeah, and it starts right from sort of CBT, sort of therapeutic support methods. There's up to 2 years waiting list in the Southwest, and that's not, you know, specific to any area. It's just that there is a massive waiting list. There's low funding. There's not enough people who are employed to do the service that people need, massively need.
So a lot of charities are working, lobbying very hard, including Second Step, Mind, Rethink, MDF as was, which is the Manic Depressive Fellowship. I think it's called Bipolar UK now.
I think so, yeah.
And OCD UK, for example.
They're going to put a lot more money into mental health issues now, because obviously they see people are suffering. Might be a bit late, but at least they're starting to put the money in and recognising it.
Yeah, and there are some great projects out there.
They haven't got the expertise, so they're going to be subcontracting all this to charities like yourself.
Yeah, they will be. Yeah,
that's right. And there is a lot of knowledge in the charitable sector, because many people that work there, including the people at Second Step, there's a lot of people that are peer workers. There's a lot of people who have had lived experience. Yeah. And I was talking to the head of OCD UK, which supports obsessive compulsives such as myself, and the CEO of that organisation, you know, has lived experience of it and is in recovery and is doing very, very well. But it's all about patient involvement and people taking control of their own health and working with sort of statutory services like the NHS to actually affect good recovery. And I think that's a really good model that's emerged in mental health care in the last 20 years, really.
Do you both find that that people who've actually suffered a certain type of mental illness are those that are better to help others that have got a similar illness? Or do you think people from outside of that, say alcoholics, they can relate to somebody who's a recovering alcoholic who can then help them?
I think with addiction, quite definitely is my opinion. I think that people who have lived experiences of addiction are possibly the best people to support people who are in addiction and trying to get into recovery. Sort of the rehab support services are often heavily employ people with lived experiences, and that's because people going through addiction find it much easier to speak with somebody who actually knows what they're talking about.
And there's sometimes, I've had sort of like support from people who both are fellow sufferers, and I've also had support from maybe a psychiatrist or a psychologist who's just a professional looking in from a place of, what should we call it, relative wellness.
It's a medical model, I suppose.
But I think there's a place for both of those approaches. And with sort of, and it's really important to acknowledge that with alcohol and drug abuse, they are mental illnesses in their own right. You know, it's not a flaw of character or anything. People, experience addiction because it's a certain way in which their brain functions, which other people don't have. So, you know, my uncle was an alcoholic and died of it. So I wish he'd been around a bit younger, because I think he could have sought treatment, you know.
Yeah, and also, you know, alcohol and drugs are used when people don't receive the support that they need, whether they've asked for it or not felt able to ask for it or not asked for it at all. I think, you know, it's a coping mechanism.
Yeah, and asking for it is that key thing.
Can I just give you some more stats? More than half of young people link mental illness with alienation and isolation. 56% believe that anyone their age diagnosed with a mental illness would be treated differently, and 55% believe they would lose friends. That's, more than half of young people feel embarrassed about their mental illness. And 51% of young people believe that anyone their age diagnosed... so this is the findings from a YouGov / MQ survey that show a high level of mental problems in students. More than a quarter, that's 27%, report having a mental health problem of one type or another. Yeah. Female students are more likely to say they have a mental health problem than males. So, which is what you said earlier. So,
by opening up.
So, yeah. So the stats just verify what you've already said.
Yeah, I really relate to that because I mean, my OCD and depression got really bad when I was a student. You know, for a long time, it took me a while to settle in. And I'd say to students, you know, that might be listening to the program. Obviously, Bristol has a lot of students, and in this wider West Country area, that if you are struggling, there are some great student support services there. Universities now take mental health incredibly seriously, and talk to your counsellor about it, because they will have a counsellor attached to the student union, and go and make an appointment. It is, you know, you know, I want to also sort of finish with a message of hope, in that there's loads of us in recovery. There's loads of us living great, enjoyable lives. And you too deserve that. And you can experience that no matter how much you think you're suffering at the moment. We can help you. All of these organisations can help you.
And of course, for the LGBTQ community, shout outs here every Thursday from 7.
Absolutely.
Holding out his hand. Thank you very much, Hans and Terry.
You're very welcome.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Somebody's watching me. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching everybody. There's so many CCTV cameras.
It is Big Brother out there.
It is, yeah. Now, just a follow-up for... we need to give out some phone numbers, very important phone numbers, and so helplines for people who are listening and might feel that they fit into a category.
Yeah, so there are quite a lot of support services available if you are struggling or if you know somebody who is. There is the Samaritans, whose number is 116 123. If you're a man, there is CALMS, which is Campaign Against Living Miserably, which is a fantastic online support service where you don't actually have to speak to somebody verbally. You can communicate through sort of an online text messaging service. They're incredibly supportive and trained counsellors. Then there is the HOPE Project, which is for men aged between 30 and 64 who are struggling with suicidal feelings, suicidal ideation and other mental health problems. 0117 4288 930. And lastly, there is the Sanctuary, which is a Bristol-based service that operates from Fridays through to Sundays during the evenings. Give them a Google. They're also a fantastic support service.
Excellent. Thank you. Right. Now, I want everybody to stand up. Everybody. That's all 100,000 listeners on, on all 12 stations, all to stand up. OK?
Yeah.
This is a Halloween special.
The Shout Out Podcast.
One would hope you did.
I went.
Happy Halloween, everyone!
I went to the Rocky Horror Show at Bristol Hippodrome some years ago and wore my rubber t-shirt and it was great fun. But very difficult to follow the show because people were just singing along and talking over the cast. Jonathan, what's his name? Robbie Williams' mate. What's his Jonathan Wilkes, is it?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, you know the fellow. He was Frankenfurter.
Oh yes, yeah.
You know the fellow I mean.
Yes, I do. Yeah,
and you'll have to speak to the lovely Steve Keating at Bristol Bear Bar. Actually, had a kiss from Robbie Williams when he was visiting.
Has somebody else has kissed somebody famous?
I've kissed a few, and I liked it.
Oh, wonderful!
But Katie Lang kissed me. Yes. We need to get that right.
That's
I did
wonderful.
Not kiss her. Yeah, I mean, I reciprocated, but she started it.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know, right? Claim to fame.
Yeah,
Yeah. I know someone that's had dinner with Freddie Mercury.
Wow.
He was a young man on the London gay scene.
I've had a hug from Helen
Heather Small.
Heather Small.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. And me and you have both touched the flesh of Buck's Fizz.
Yes.
Mike Nolan and Cheryl
touched
Baker.
The flesh.
Yes, we did. Yes.
I was quite
starstruck.
Were
they not dressed?
I was quite starstruck.
Yeah, and we ate with them, didn't we?
We did. They offered us food. They were really nice. Oh. They were lovely people.
Yeah.
And in fact, all the people that have been involved in the Pride interviews over the years, they've all
snuggled
been smashing.
Up to A1.
Oh, we did.
Oh, gosh, they were the A1, the boy band.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They were good-looking lads, weren't they?
Yeah, and Sonic.
Still are.
Oh, yeah.
Sonic, give me a hug.
She was good fun.
Yeah, yeah. Now, from the real serious to the ridiculous.
Well,
so it's something about the sex lives of dogs, dolphins and cats.
Well, I think we may end up onto that, but these
are
my
memoirs. Can I just say gay?
Well, I don't know if the
LGBTQ
dog I was...
LGBTQ dogs.
I was dog-sitting for a dog. I'm not sure if she's a queer dog or not.
Didn't
but
you
she
ask?
Is. She does have two daddies. I recently had my first experience of dog-sitting. Oh, yes. Pooper scooping, vile dog breath, and the questionable delights of jellified dog cuisine were all on the agenda a couple of weeks ago. I was dog-sitting for my friends who live in a lovely flat in Totterdown. For those of you unfamiliar with the city of Bristol, Tumbledown Totterdown is a delightful citadel on a South Bristol hill overlooking the city. It's artistic, populated by creatives, a significant LGBT population and old hippies. It boasts a vegan restaurant, several charity shops, a couple of Whole Foods stores, the liberal mosque, little cafes and bakeries. It is, as my manager would put it, gentrified and rather la-di-da, but I love it. The houses are brightly painted and higgledy-piggledy. Miss Phoebe is the doggy that I was looking after for a lovely gay couple who were out of town for an extended weekend. So I had myself a long weekend off of work and went to look after her. She's an incredible dog. As a puppy, she survived the floods in New Orleans in 2004 and was rescued by her daddies, who worked for the US kids TV channel Nickelodeon. As a result of her early traumatic experience, she still hates water. However, there was little rain over the weekend. I call her Miss Phoebe Farts, because I think it sounds rather jazzier. She's a gorgeous old dog now with a few difficulties getting about, but she has a good quality of life and is so loved. So on the Thursday night, I moved in for a couple of days. Miss Phoebe was moping. This was to be a bit of a theme for the next few days. She misses her daddies and gets depressed, poor thing. It's a truism amongst dog owners that their canine companions are empathic and have surprisingly human emotions. For a long time, this was dismissed by scientists. But in the last few decades, our understanding of dog psychology has evolved rapidly, and it is now understood that pooches probably have the intelligence of a 2-year-old human child. They can work out problems, and some studies suggest they can understand around 150 words, just like a 2-year-old human child. And they are very empathic. Dogs are pack animals and have an acutely developed sense of group dynamics. They do miss their owners when they are not around, and Miss Phoebe was somewhat depressed. She gazed at me with those infinitely sad eyes that most dog owners find irresistible, so I texted her daddies. They said, yes, she's moping, so just for a few days she could be spoiled. So I went to Tesco and got her lots of treats. This didn't stop her from still trying to angle for some of my food. Whatever it was I was eating, Miss Phoebe just gazed at the plate as if by sheer will of concentration she could cause the food to levitate and make it all the way to her mouth. To be honest, I did find myself picking up on Miss Phoebe's mood, so I filled the flat with music. The lads had Wi-Fi and an Apple box, and I found that I could stream thousands of radio channels through the television, and I found a radio station aimed at dogs. Yes, there is really a network aimed at pooches. All Dog Radio, based in Maryland, is the project of an outdoorsman who has dedicated his life to dogs. The network streams several services, including comfort music for soothing your dog, and even an electronic dance music channel. I love this. An electronic dance music channel featuring dog-friendly beats. I did a bit of a jig in front of Phoebe, but she just looked at me totally and utterly nonplussed. Now, it's estimated that humans domesticated wolves to become dogs a long time ago, perhaps as long ago as 32,000 years. This was deep into the last ice age when there was no human civilization as we know it, just hunter-gatherer societies. Latest research suggests that we even interbred with our Neanderthal cousins at this time, who emerged out of Africa at an early point in human evolution.
I got quite worried when you said that last sentence.
Some of us, yeah, nothing else, just Neanderthals. Some of us still have Neanderthal genes today. They mostly populate straight bars along the waterfront on a Saturday night. I'm only joking. I had an absolutely wonderful time.
Good.
Dog sitting Miss Phoebe, even though she was mopey.
And you don't know
when her daddy's come back, she was barking around. She was gorgeous. Aww. But I've cut it a little bit short because we want to talk a little bit about the fact that mammals have active sex lives, don't they, Hans?
And gay sex.
They do.
And gay sex lives.
I mean, specifically dolphins. I mean, they have a gay old time, don't they?
They do have a gay old time under the sea.
Because they're very intelligent. And the more intelligence you have,
the more perverse you are.
Yeah, no, the more perverse you are, actually, as a species.
So they have sex for fun, dolphins, right?
Yeah, they have
sex for fun. And they have gay sex.
So they have lots of lesbian dolphins, all the gay sex they have. Pardon?
There's lesbian dolphins.
Yeah, well, actually, I didn't realise that until earlier.
And then the blowhole. Well, I was surprised that the blowhole is used by gay male dolphins.
Yes, so gay male dolphins have what one could say is average gay sex, I suppose. But they also use the blowhole. And then there's lesbian dolphin sex, which is where they use the beak and the entrance. I'm trying to think of my words there quite
carefully. No, you think you did that very, very well. absolutely fascinating.
Well, everybody knows about gay penguins.
There are.
Well, and gay penguins mate for life as well, don't they?
They do.
They mate for life, and they also go through quite severe depression if they're not able to basically adopt a child.
That's right, and indeed...
Yeah, there's a zoo, isn't there, with a gay couple?
It's quite a famous... Yeah. Famous
so they give them an egg,
penguins.
Didn't they?
They gave them an egg that had been abandoned by its birth parents. So, that's really
often
sweet.
What causes it, apparently, is that the two female penguins will die, and then the two men are left, and that will bring them together. And they'll either continue to raise the child, or the child, the penguin that was, you know, the
child.
Well,
it is a child, isn't it,
the child.
In a way?
I was just thinking of Happy Feet there. that's kind of how it goes.
That's wonderful. Mm. So, more intelligence, more perverse. I love it.
Yes.
And that's it for another week, another Halloween, but not a scary Brexit this year yet.
If you're out for bonfire nights, please stay safe. Better still, stay in and listen to a podcast available at shadowradio.lgbt.
Next week, we catch up with Trans Pride Southwest.
That's it. Have a good scary evening. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Yay.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.